Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Hello and welcome to Unabashed, a podcast on candid conversations on all things talent. Well, in this podcast, we have open, honest, and unapologetic conversations about the emergent realities of work, worker, and the workplace. I'm Neha Pant, part of the Knowledge and Advisory team at Sherm India, and I have with me Abhijeet Bhadari. Welcome, Abhijeet. How are you doing today?
Very good. When you were saying we are going to talk about all things talent, my first reaction was, I'm going to talk about all things and you are the talented person, so you will talk about talent and that's how the distribution is going to be. All right? Okay. So, Neha, that's something that... So, it is your responsibility.
You don't consider yourself talent, is it?
No, I'm not in that zone.
Why not?
So, the responsibility is on you to make sure that we are talking about all things talent. I will talk about all things. For example, I'll talk to you about the movies.
I have to ensure you don't digress. That's what you're telling me.
Yes. And I have to ensure that you are not too focused on, have you talked about talent? Because, there are like so many conferences where you get this whole bunch of pieces of information. And, I always think that it's very intimidating at some level when somebody says, you have to make sure you do these three things. And I'm kind of thinking that, I've never ever done any of these things. So I think I would really like to talk about many of those things we don't get a chance to talk about, and including some of the things which are vulnerable. And so, Neha, you should be feeling comfortable talking about your boss.
My God, is that what we're talking about today?
Yeah, we should talk about your boss.
My boss? Oh my God, I just hope he's not listening. But really, what are we talking about today?
Okay, good. So that's one clue. Okay, so that's what we are talking about. Okay, so he is not listening. So that's a clue. So
Oh gosh, you're going to get me into trouble for sure, right?
I have no boss.
You are self-employed, but I have...
You were going to say unemployed. Okay, see...
I meant to say self-employed. You are own boss,
right?
So you can say anything about your boss and get away with it, right? And you'll put me on the spot. And
I can also talk about all my bosses, in the past. And, they're like such amazing stories. There are, of course, a few good ones. And there are like a whole lot of really horrible ones. Some people would, I would really... I'm so glad I'm not working with them anymore.
So are you serious? We are talking about bosses?
Yes, we can talk about that, because I think it's one of the most important things that, at least in my case, when I started working, I was very lucky to get amazing bosses in the first couple of years. So I think they really shaped my professional DNA. That's what I think a boss does. And then I think, life said, you've had a very, very good time. You had people who've sort of mentored you, coached you, done all that. Now it is time to put you in with real nasty people, see the other side of the bosses. And I, next couple of years, I got some really, really, really terrible ones. And then, of course, things again improved. And so it's been a bit of one of those wave-shaped recoveries.
Sure. So,
what about you? You've had terrific bosses always.
All right. Before I actually get started on that conversation, let me put a disclaimer out, okay? So whatever I'm going to say in this conversation does not apply to my current boss.
Right? Gosh, that's such a cheap cop-out, Neha. How terrible. This is not in keeping with the unabashed conversation.
No, I am going to be unabashed, but let me tell you this, that none of this applies to my current boss.
You can't do that. Because this is, you know, beginning to sound like those disclaimers we have, you know, in the movie. Anything that we say has no resemblance with it. Of course, the moment they say it, you know it is about somebody specific.
Why are you wanting to get me into trouble, Abhijit? I mean, we called it Unabashed. We said we'll have open, honest conversations. But I didn't know you want to talk about bosses in just the first episode.
No. So that's one of the biggest things that I think we should talk about, you know. What is the role of the boss? I mean, and I have very, very strong views based on my experience of all the bosses that I've had, good and bad. I mean, and I think that, you know, you're looking at, especially in today's remote working setting, you know, Neha, I think the role of the boss has become even more critical because the boss is not able to watch you, you know, in person. So, you know, they cannot step out and build a bond with you, or they do not know how to sort of evaluate your work. You're pretty much on your own. So you have to be driven on by your own energy. So how does the role of the boss change? In my opinion, it changes drastically. And I would just say that the role of, you know, the way the person builds trust, the empathy that the person does, has a far bigger impact than, you know, just somebody who obsesses about productivity. You were supposed to work for 8 hours and then you didn't work for 8 hours. Somebody does that.
No, absolutely. I think I have personally always believed that your work culture is only as good as your manager. And your manager plays a very important role in shaping your career. So I think it's a big responsibility. And somewhere I wonder whether managers also feel equipped, you know, to be leading teams. And more often than not, you know, in our client conversations as well, we hear that, you know, the managers have not undergone any sort of, you know, skilling, so to say, in terms of how to really lead teams. Some people may be management graduates and they may have, you know, learned some skills around people management while they were, you know, studying, you know, and pursuing their MBA. But apart from that, a lot of managers who grow organically in the system, right, and technically really sound, and they get promoted and then suddenly are given a team to lead. Of course, it's a step ahead in their career. They're excited about the new role, but then more often than not, they find themselves...
That, I think, is the problem area that, you know, Neha, I think what happens is, in a very, very, you know, power distant society like ours, where, you know, there's a massive difference between the boss and the subordinate mentally in our head. And yeah. I'm not talking about organizational levels. So, you know, what happens is people want to become a people manager for two reasons. One is that it gives them a, you know, monetary raise, which is important to everyone. Especially at the early stages of your career, it gives you a significant bump. The second thing is that it's a power trip. That, you know, now you have these people in your... And that's what happened with me. That, you know, when I became a manager for the first time, for me, it was a power trip that, oh my God, I can write there a prison, do what I want. Yeah. I mean, it's just like somebody handing over a blank check. And I just look back and I feel embarrassed about how horribly unprepared I was. And because the org had a, you know, there were some org changes and I sort of landed up leading a small team. But I just think I did such a horrible job of it because I just wasn't sure and nobody put me through a structured training program. So I would think that going back, if I had a, you know, like a program that I could attend, you know, so like, I don't know, you know, if there is a course that I could do. Either by myself or in the organization, being coached by somebody.
No, absolutely. I also think somewhere, you know, managing people is seen as something that we all should know, you know, and this should come to us intuitively, right? And I recall, you know, one of the head of the organizations in my previous organization, one of my previous organizations, ended up saying one time that, you know, why should I teach my managers how to manage people? Shouldn't they know this already? We all deal with people right from the time we are born, you know. So I don't think this is something that we really need to teach separately.
People should be teaching. My God, I hope this person was not responsible for hiring more people managers.
So,
it's a horrible mindset.
I know. And that's when I sort of wondered that, I mean, it's a difficult thing to do. It's not easy to lead people. And if we assume that, you know, this should come to us naturally, that is such a fallacy because that just doesn't happen. So, you know, I think it's very important that we are equipping our managers with the right skills. And yes, it's a lot of managers who've not had that, you know, sort of either by education, they've never learned people management, or their organizations haven't done enough, they find themselves, you know, in this predicament. They don't understand, you know, what's going wrong. They're doing everything right.
Pause. Look at where do people get their managers tested? Where is that manager skill tested? Not when you're conveying good news. You know, anyone can come up and tell you that, oh, you've done a great job, you're getting promoted, I'm giving you an increment. Anyone can do that. But I think the place where really the acid test of a manager, people manager, is, are you able to convey, you know, one, are you able to convey bad news? That, you know, you worked hard, but, you know, there is going to be no increment for anyone in this team. Or having to make choices that we can promote only one person while all 10 of you have worked really hard, only one of them is going to do that. How well do you manage that? Those are the kind of scenarios that really get you tested as a people manager. Not when you're doing your day-to-day work. Or, in my view, the third area where you get tested as a people manager is when you're really, you know, coaching people. And which I think is another thing we assume. I don't know why we assume that everybody can coach. You know, so organizations rolled out this, anybody who's X level and above will now have the responsibility to mentor and coach people. I think it's just such a bad idea.
And without equipping them.
Everyone doesn't know how to sing.
Yeah,
just because you get promoted from, you know, assistant manager to manager, suddenly you don't learn how to sing.
Absolutely.
That's the best example I could think of. But you think so? Most people don't know how to sing. And even the best of guys, actually the best of singers, actually to get coached in how to become better.
Absolutely. But then this coaching bit also is really misunderstood. Okay, we may be doing a lot of programs on managers as coaches, but you know, when you look at the implementation of it, ask their team members, are they really feeling like they're being coached, or you know, they are being interrogated, you know, with questions and questions, because this is what people understand now, that coaching is about asking all the questions.
So,
you know, don't give answers, just ask questions to, you know, till the time, you know, that person gets frustrated and is like, I don't know what to do next, right?
But,
so, and this
know,
is happening
the guys
so many times in so many conversations.
You know, so first time when we introduce coaching in the organization, this guy comes up to me and says that I haven't quite understood what this guy who I'm working with, gave me his name, and said, what am I supposed to be doing with him? Because, you know, he comes and says, what is the problem you want to work on? So I tell him the problem. Then he says, how do you think it might be addressed? So I say that, okay, I can do this or I can do this. Which of these two ways would you want to try out? And I say, I'll choose option A. He says, okay, when will you tell me that you've implemented it? Then I tell him, okay, next week. So what is this guy's role? Because problem bhi main bata raha hun, solution bhi main bata raha hun. You know, so I'm telling him the problem and the solution. What is this guy's role for?
Yeah.
I think in India, the way that it works well is not just a person. And I think this model of asking questions is not something that really gels well in the organizational cultures that we have, or the societal cultures we've grown up in. You tell people you have to manage your own career. You know, the first thing he asks you, please tell me what to do. What do you think I should do? You know, because we are brought up in that environment. So it's going to take time for us to have a completely independent response. And I think it's a bad idea. Because so even when you tell people, I would always say that I'm going to be a mentor, and I'm happy to share a point of view, and you can take what you want out of that. I'll share options. I'll work with you to identify options.
Well, absolutely. To my mind, coaching requires you know, conversational intelligence. Not everybody has that, right? Not everyone can be a coach.
What was that term? I like that.
conversational
intelligence.
Absolutely. I mean, you need to ask questions. Yes, questions are powerful. They make people think. They actually lead to solutions. But there is a way of asking questions, right? And just because you went into a program called manager as a coach, you don't come out becoming a coach, you know, from that program, and then you suddenly start engaging in asking questions, you know, to people, it does not solve anything for them. You are not actually being a coach. For all you know, the team member is frustrated because he's now feeling directionless. He does not know what to do and how to go about it. So sometimes showing the direction also sort of works, you know, like you said, tell them that this is how I did it, or this is how, you know, someone else did it, and give them some options, some solutions. Sometimes that works too. But yeah, that's perhaps a conversation for another time. I think, you know, organizations really have to equip their managers with the right skills, especially when they are becoming managers for the first time, when they've never led teams before. It's a big, big, big responsibility. And, you know, I believe managers, like I said in the beginning as well, they shape or break careers. And when you entrust someone with that kind of a responsibility, you really have to train them well too. So I think that's what, you know, is most important to my mind.
But I also think that, you know, sometime I just want to sort of share that, you know, when I started to become a people manager, one of the questions that the person who was, you know, I was reporting to asked me, which was such a game changer. And I'm going to ask you to guess what that question could be. I'm going to ask all the listeners to also guess. What do you think the people, you know, should be asked before they become people managers? What is that one question you would ask if you had that challenge? So, you know, the best response, I think, should get a prize. So, Neha, can we announce that unabashed? So we should do that.
Absolutely. But, the answers have to be unabashed too, right?
And I think what you should be doing is, you can give your responses. If you want to share it on social media, you can do it. You can follow me at Abhijit Bhaduri. That's my first name, last name together. Abhijit Bhaduri on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. You can follow me and I'll look forward to your responses. Neha, how can they reach you?
Absolutely. So you can reach us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Shum pages are available everywhere. So do follow us on social media. If you'd like to drop in a query, you can do that on Shum India, which is SHRMINDIA at shum.org. That's the email address that you could send your queries to. Use unabashed term in the subject line so we know where this query is coming from. Also, we've recently launched People Manager Qualification. If you'd like to learn more about it, do check that out. It is on-demand, self-paced e-learning that's available to equip your managers, especially the ones who are stepping into that role for the first time with the requisite skills of leading teams. And if you'd like customized learning journeys for your managers, feel free to give us a shout out. Reach out to the advisory team at Shum India. And we'll see you soon for another unabashed conversation.
And until the next time, goodbye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
This is Shum Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India, Inc.